Thank you for those remarks, David, and thank you for the invitation to come and speak to you and for having a discussion about the review. I don't really need to start with what I'm about to start with for this audience, but this isn't all about simply science, and that's because RDI is crucial for the UK, and I just want to actually start there. It's an essential driver of productivity, of sustainable economic growth, achieving societal and strategic benefits, improving public services, the quality of our lives, protecting the environment, meeting future global and national crises and challenges. Not just about science, it's about making the UK a successful country. I just wanted to emphasize that to start with. The review is rather long, I apologize for that. It's 150 pages, even the summary is 20 pages. I thoroughly recommend it to you if you're having trouble sleeping at night. It's very, very good for that. It took some time to put together. It involved 270 different pieces of evidence, interviews, and information from national, but also many international organizations and individuals at all levels in the RDI endeavor. It identified, in my view, significant problems about the UK RDI endeavour, some of which have been long-standing and serious. In some respects, it's a rather dull piece to read because it actually deals with fixing the problems rather than announcing bright, shiny new things, which can be a tendency in these things. Sometimes it's said that the UK discovery research engine is in good shape and all that needs fixing is its application for economic and societal benefit. That definitely does need fixing, but so does the UK RDI discovery engine, because it's fragile and in jeopardy. It's hanging in there, but it needs help, and this review is aimed at giving it help. It makes 29 recommendations, quite a lot of recommendations, which need to be looked at together. I keep being asked, what are the priorities? There is not priorities, there's a whole range of things that need to be implemented. I use this term of a revolution through evolution, that is building on the structures that we have rather than ripping things up with all the consequences that you have of that instability. What are the main findings and proposals? I'm going to deliver them to you not in the same structure as the review itself, but just to try and crystallize things. The first is the UK government underspends on the research it both performs and the research that it supports. Performs means it's done within government departments or directly funded by government departments, as compared with international comparator countries. This problem's been confused by historically poor data collection, I'm afraid, which is hugely underestimated in industrial spend. I can't believe that. We talk about it. I can't believe that's been out there for so long. Also underestimated the amount that universities themselves spend on research. And how that could have been missed, I simply don't know. But what I also think has been missed is what I just said about government spend. Perhaps it with our policy people, both academic and also government, were aware of it, but if they were, they weren't talking about it. That's all I can say. I'll tell you what we've calculated, and by we, I mean the civil service team that supported me and myself. It needs checking by the ONS. But we calculate that the research and development performed by UK government is 0.12%, and that is half of the OECD average of 0.24 to 0.26%. Remember, OECD isn't G7 and G10. It's less than half of the OECD average. If we now look at the R&D funded by UK government, it's 0.46% of GDP, which puts the UK 27th in 36 OECD nations, where the average is 0.6%, and compared with the US, Germany, South Korea, which is between 0.7 to 1% approximately, compared with our 0.46%. Now, why haven't we been shouting that from the rooftops for the last decade? But the review identifies it. The data needs checking. The data needs checking, just to make that clear. But essentially, There needs more investment in RDI, and that also, and I'm not going to say much more about that, it needs to be embedded in a stable government policy environment to reduce too much policy volatility, which I would say is what I see in Plan B if I had time to get to that, yet more volatility. Second point, that RDI investment by the UK government needs to be better delivered. In the past, there's been, in my view, too much emphasis only on the direct costs of RDI programmes, insufficient attention on what I call complete end-to-end funding of RDI. That's the actual total cost of carrying out RDI. And that includes things beyond the direct support, including proper investment in support for boring things like administration, so that highly paid researchers don't have to do it themselves, which is happening particularly in the university. The provision of sophisticated technical calls and facilities, which are communally applied rather than simply in those labs that can attract most direct costs. Ensuring well-found labs, and also that lab buildings are in place. The lack of admin support means these trivial tasks are given to researchers, wasting money, in fact, by distracting researchers from their main tasks. I know that doing high-quality research is difficult, and I also know researchers need time to think, and they are too much of the time doing trivial administration. I have examples if you want to ask me later. So there should be a focus on covering the full end-to-end funding, dealing with things like FECs, full economic costs, dealing also with QR. Third point, the diversity of our research performing organisations needs to be examined and increased, in my view. That landscape, the UK RDI landscape, is complex. The main sectors are universities, PSREs, that's public sector research equivalents, you'll be hearing about those a bit later, research institutes and units, industry, and then a whole sort of gamish of other stuff, academies, museums, translational promoting institutions, and the like. I just call it other because I couldn't think of anything coherent to say to it. Now, over the last 30 years, research in the UK, we believe, has carried out in universities and industry has grown, whilst PSREs, institutes and units supported by government have dramatically shrunk down to one-third of what they used to be 30 years ago. One-third. So it's the figures are in the review. International comparisons show that 80% of non-business R&D is in the universities in UK, compared with 45 to 60% in other countries. Again, these figures need to be checked, but these are dramatically different. Our universities are generally very good and are highly competitive on the international stage. They need to be supported well. But the UK PSRE system and also institutes and units also are important. PSREs not only do fundamental research, don't like the word fundamental, discovery research, prefer that, okay, but they also provide a national infrastructure for RDI, technical services, regulatory standards, sovereign expertise, emergency responses, not naturally things that universities are actually that good at delivering. Institutes and units provide a real dedicated laser focus on research mission and are very attractive to the highest quality researchers. And our best institutes and units are prominent also on the world stage. So we need to look at whether we've got the right balance our proportional spend in our different RPOs at the same time as defending the research that is carried out within the universities. So it needs an expanded budget, as I've said. Fourth point, there needs to be increased knowledge of and permeability between the range of RPOs in the UK RDI landscape. I've already said that landscape's complex, difficult to navigate, but it is also highly siloed. They're very separate, one from another. Knowledge transfer between the sectors, in my view, is too low. But better understanding and knowledge of all those sectors is required to allow navigation through that landscape. Finances and capabilities must be accurately and regularly reported. I mean, just what I've told you should have been obvious to policymakers for a decade. They were not. You cannot make decent policy if you don't have decent data about what you're making policy about. Having that knowledge, having good dissemination of that knowledge, will improve permeability of ideas, technologies, and people. And this is particularly important, I would suggest, for interactions between industry and academia. By the way, my review didn't deal with industry, it was to deal with the public purse primarily, but we did deal with the interface with industry. I also think universities could have a special role in increasing permeability, and with a role which occurs in some US universities to provide services to their local industry and communities for relevant research wherever it may be found in the UK, and not just the research found in that their particular university. So if you have a company in Middlesbrough and there's relevant research going on in Bristol, they know about it and they connect it, because we're not going to be able to have all the research needed across the country. And just that one thing is something worth doing. Fifthly, which I won't say anything about, reduce unnecessary and excessive bureaucracy. There's been another review by Adam Tickle. We just need to run the place actually better. This is a particular problem, I would say, for the PSREs, and I think it is a particular problem that the UKRI should have a role in reducing bureaucracy and defending the research councils from government and treasury restrictive rules and regulations. A role of the UKRI is to defend our research endeavour as well as enhancing our research endeavour. Sixth point, talent is critical to RDI and we need to nurture talent. We need to attract international talent, but we also need to train homegrown talent at all levels, from technicians and people who are working in more lowly positions in labs right through to the professors. We need all of them, they all have something to contribute. And the knowledge of the opportunities and possibilities should be increased across the permeability in sectors. In other words, if you're trained in a university, you should be aware of PSREs, which most aren't, by the way. You know, I'm looking at, because they just don't know about them, because they've never seen a PSRE, for example. Okay. So early career researchers, technicians, graduate students, postdoc researchers, starting research leaders do need better employment conditions and proper training. It does need attention. There's a lot of depression out there to improve their cost effectiveness. Seventh and final thing, although I will have one thing more to say after that, we need to have in place effective international RDI arrangements. You know where this is going, of course. Central to this is association with Horizon Europe. EU researchers are by far the biggest grouping with which UK researchers interact and collaborate. Over 40 years, we've built up complex set of networks and contacts, which are hard to set up, easy to destroy. Horizon Europe pulls on 27 nations of high-quality scientists who can be involved in reviewing and all sorts of things. It is absolutely a no-brainer, which has almost universal support across the research endeavour, but we haven't done it. And not only have we not done it, but the delaying, the worrying about relatively small sums of money is actually damaging our present activity. I want to emphasise there's three main groupings of science in the world: North America, Asia, particularly based on China, and Europe. If we float off, as I say, into the cold northeast Atlantic by ourselves, we will not be part of one of those three groupings. It's a huge, huge mistake. We need leadership to get us into that European grouping. It would be easy to deliver. I have no idea why we have not yet delivered it. Final point on this, all the recommendations, there's quite a few of them, will provide a blueprint that can bring about the revolution that I think we need. Now, at the very end, I'm just going to say what we could do immediately, because what I have in here is actually a big task. So if I'm allowed to just spend two more minutes on that, Mr. Chair? Yes, very good. Sorry, Lord Chair. I got that wrong. Yeah. There are some immediate actions that we could carry out which don't cost very much. And I emphasise that because the poor government is in a bit, you know, is in a financial mess, and there's no point in not recognising it. So the immediate actions. I think, first of all, we have to look at the financial sustainability. That is full economic costing and QRs and also direct grants. I recommend that the government, working with UKRI and others, should immediately set up a planning and implementation group to see what is practical to deliver it. That doesn't cost money, but it starts the planning so we do it properly, and we do it properly when more money comes along. Secondly, we've identified significant problems in the running of PSREs, and they require mission clarity, permeability, agility in funding. And the review has shown that it's clearly fragile. And a major problem is quite simply that they are subject to government restrictions and in how they operate in their planning and implementation, and not least what salaries they can pay their researchers, which are in no sense competitive. So this could be swept away, just like the controls over the European Union rules. These could be just swept away in exactly the same way. So I'd focus on that because it would be more useful than some of the other things that we're talking about sweeping away. Thirdly, the review found that a number of the institutes that have been set up in recent years, and I spoke to all of them, Rosalind Franklin, Alan Turing, Henry Royce, Dementia Research Institutes, Tyndall Centre for Climate Change, probably others, are not working effectively for all sorts of reasons. Primarily, they weren't set up with the right budgets, nor the right governments, for that matter. You put up a shiny new building, back to my bright, shiny new building, and you don't look beyond the first year. Big problem. So this need, all of these should be overhauled in the next year to see what isn't working and what needs to be done to make them work. So we know what to do when the valve is open. There is a particular significant issue with healthcare RDI, and that's been picked up in the last week with the Academy of Medical Sciences. There's too much pressure on our clinical researchers because of their NHS duties. This is damaging seriously medical research in the UK. All this is mentioned in the review, and we need to correct it. It just needs correction because we are losing our research base in medical research. I mentioned already the universities having an extra role providing information about research around the country. We could fund a couple of pilot studies and just see how it works. Maybe it's a rotten idea. You know, some of my ideas are rotten. I do understand that. But we should test it. We should put something in place, see how it works. Sixthly, there were weaknesses in cross-government RDI and governance because we don't know enough about RDI. We need to have proper effective mapping in all respects of UK RDI across the country in all disciplines. It was put in place sort of half-cock 5-6 years ago, wasn't followed up. Without data and without information, we can't deliver it. International collaboration, let's just get Europe done, shall we? Let's just get Horizon done. That sounds like a good idea to me. Okay. There are things, all of the things above could be done without too much money, and I think that would be a start. Later stuff does require money, but remember, only 0.12% and 0.46% are half or less of the OECD. Thank you very much.